You guys brought one of these books. Open it up to the beginning. The very beginning, where it starts on, usually not on page one, but Genesis 1:1. We're not going to read the whole thing tonight. Yeah, we'll just get started. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was empty, a formless mass cloaked in darkness, and the Spirit of God was hovering over its surface. And then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. And God said, saw that it was good." And then, just to kind of paraphrase, it says, He separated the light from the darkness. He separated the waters and made sky and land. He created plants and trees and saw that all of that was good. And then he went on and he made the sun and the moon and the stars. He created fish and birds and land animals. And all of those were good. And then down at verse 27, it says, "God created people in his own image. And God patterned them after himself." So basically, he made us to be like him, which is good. And verse 31 says, "Then God looked over all he had made, and he saw that it was very good, excellent in every way." So God finished his creation and looked it over and said that it was good. It was excellent. It was really good. There's something a little different about the world we live in today, isn't there? Not quite like the way it started out. When you hear those words that talked about God seeing things and everything was good, it's obvious that our world is a little out of whack from that. Things are not quite the way they used to be. I don't know how many times you might have heard people ask, or maybe you've asked yourself, why is there so much evil and suffering in the world? How can this be? What is wrong with where we live? Why isn't it like the way it used to be? Every night you turn on the TV and see it on the nightly news. There's hurting all over the place. You have loved ones that are hurting. My friend Todd Ackland, who went and saw him in the hospital today, he's bruised up in his face and his foot's attached, and they're still trying to save it. But, you know, loved ones who are in pain, loved ones in our church who are in pain. There's so much tragedy, and deep down inside, I think we know that this is not the way it's supposed to be. I think that's across the board, Christian or not. There's something inside of us that longs for the way it's supposed to be, longs for the good. And we know that the way the world is right now, there's something not right about it. You don't even have to be a Christian to realize that. There's something that just, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. So why is life like this? How did things get this way? How is it that a world can be filled with such beauty? Because there's still good things. There's still beautiful things to see. You can look at the scientists, look at the universe, and they see order everywhere. Something is fitting together. Something is right about this place. And there are wonderful things. There are things that seem truly good. And at the same time, there's so much heartache and pain. There's suffering amidst the beauty. So at the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis, it talks about our origins. It talks about how we got started. It tells us a story of how our world came about and how we originally came to be. It says where we came from and how life got started. And God created the heavens and the earth. And he started off with light, and he went on to create everything else after that. And the pinnacle of his creation, after he'd finished everything else, was us, was human beings. He made Adam and Eve and placed them in this beautiful garden where everything was nice. There was a place called Eden in Genesis, and everything was beautiful. And in fact, it was perfect. There were rivers that flowed through it. If you look through the chapter, it talks about how springs bubbled up out of the ground and the rivers flowed around and they watered everything in the garden. And I think it would have been a really cool place to live. No pollution, no smog, no traffic jams. It would have been really nice. And the story of Genesis goes on to give us all sorts of details about Eden and what it was like. It also tells that God gave Adam and Eve work to do. They had a part in doing God's work on the earth, and they were supposed to tend everything in the garden and watch after it. They were basically in partnership with what God was doing on the planet. And Genesis 2:15 says, "The Lord God placed them placed man in the Garden of Eden to tend and care for it. And there was harmony with God. Things were going good. And there was peace between humans. There were only two at the time. But God created them to be together. He meant for them to be in union and to be at peace with one another and to be in harmony with God, and everybody was working together, and mankind was in partnership with what God was doing on the earth. And in the middle of it all was a tree. You probably remember the tree. In chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "And the Lord God planted all sorts of trees in the garden, beautiful trees that produced delicious fruit. In the center of the garden, he placed the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." This is where things got messed up. God has such respect for the people he made, such respect for you and I, that he allows us to make our own decisions. He lets us choose the way we want to live. We can choose to live in partnership with God, to accomplish his will on the earth, to do the things that he wants us to do, or we can choose not to. We can choose to reject what God tells us to do, and to be ruled by our own greed or lust or pride or whatever it is that drives us. We get to make that decision. Hopefully you guys realize that, that God doesn't force us to do things. God doesn't cause us to do anything. He lets us choose. He lets us live our lives. And so we can either live the way we were created to live, inside of his will, or we can choose to live outside of his will. Joshua, all the way up in Joshua 24, I'll just read the verse, you don't have to flip up there, but chapter 24, verse 15 says, "But if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, then choose this day whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, or it will be the gods of the Amorites in whose lands you now live?" And then it ends with the popular verse, "But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord." So God gives us a choice. And he lets us decide what we're going to follow. And this is how our story begins. This is our origin. This is where the Bible kicks off, with a tree in the middle of the garden and a choice to work for God or not. And the interesting thing about that story is it's still our choice. It matches up today with what was going on back there. We're still given that exact same choice. Unfortunately, Adam and Eve chose not to follow God. They chose to go against him and not to do what he wanted and not to be in partnership with him. And all of us are given that same opportunity to be in partnership with God. We're all given that choice whether we want to follow him or not. Adam and Eve decided not to, and people since then have decided not to. Through the generation, that choice has been repeated over and over. And today, people continue to make the choice not to serve God. It goes on and on and on. And we feel the consequences. When you choose to reject what God wants for you, when you choose to reject the partnership that he offers, there are consequences that we suffer. And we see it on the nightly news, and we see it in hospitals, and we see it in graveyards. That's what happened to the world. Now, if you flip ahead to the end of the book, you find Revelation. And Revelation tells how everything ends. God says in Revelation 21, starting at verse 5, "And the one sitting on the throne said, 'Look, I am making all things new.' And then he said to me, 'Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true.' And he also said, 'It is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give the springs of water of life, the springs of the water of life without charge.'" So what's strange about this ending is that it's also a beginning. I don't know if you've ever watched a movie that it kind of concludes part of the story, but just as something as new is about to happen, just as something different is about to take place, the credits roll. And that's kind of like what Revelations is doing. It ends what's going on in our world now, but it's the very beginning of another story. It's almost a continuation of this same story, but that's where it cuts off for us. So we don't get to see what's going to continue. It's kind of like a lot of movies that you watch. That's kind of the book of Revelation. It's a started in that end, and what's going to begin to happen. And Revelation gives us all sorts of details about what's going to happen. God says he makes a new heaven and a new earth. Things are going to be restored and fixed, and it's going to go back the way it's supposed to be. There's going to be rivers flowing through the new earth. And there's going to be healing for the nation. And once again, there will be harmony with God. And once again, there will be peace between people. I wore my Jesus Recycles shirt, and on the side it says, a new heaven and a new earth and a new me. But God's going to take care of that stuff. In chapter 22, verses 1 through 3, says, and the angel showed me a pure river with the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, coursing down the center of Main Street. And on each side of the river grew a tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, with a fresh crop each month. And the leaves were used for medicine to heal the nation. No longer will anything be cursed, for the throne of God and of the Lamb will be there, and His servants will worship Him. And life will be the way God intended it, perfect and good. We'll once again be in partnership with God. Everyone will be in partnership with God, doing His will. And that's a good thing to look forward to, isn't it? And it's the beginning of our story at the end of this book. And you can see how Genesis and Revelation are tied together, can't you? You can see that it's kind of symbolism, but there's the rivers and the trees. In the middle of it all are these trees. When you see that beginning and that ending tied together, there's sometimes they do that in movies too. I remember Saving Private Ryan. I don't know how many of you guys have seen that movie, Saving Private Ryan. But you probably remember, those of you who have seen it, it's a pretty horrific movie. There's violence and there's the battles of World War II and storming the beaches of Normandy, and there was a lot of people were killed, and it reproduces it pretty well. And there's a lot of violence and heartache and hurt in that movie. But it starts off, there's an old man, before we get to the battle scenes, there's an old man walking with his family. That's how the movie starts off, and they're going to visit the graveside. And then you go through all the violence and the battles and the people dying and the tragedy. And then if you return at the very end of the movie, you return back to that same old man. And he's asking his wife, have I been a good man? Have I lived a good life? Is what I've done worth the things that have happened? And you get those bookends on either side of that story. That's kind of like what's happening in the Bible. That we've got these bookends of perfection. If our story begins in the Garden of Eden, where everything is good, and then it ends in Revelation with a new earth and perfection again, where do we fit in? Where does all this heartache and brokenness and tragedy fit in between these two bookends of perfection, the way things are supposed to be? As you think about our lives, and they're really pretty short compared to everything that's going on. I brought a visual aid that I thought that I'd try. Our lives are pretty short compared to the history of the earth. They're like a little tiny speck on the history of the earth. I'm going to tie this here. But let's pretend this string goes on and on and on and on, past Oxford, past Mercury and Jupiter and Neptune and the poor little spotty Pluto that scientists won't even call a planet anymore. And this string will be a timeline. And God has always been. He's been forever and ever that direction into the past. And then eventually came the point where He decided to create the world. And then there was a short time on this timeline where you were born. You see that point? That's about the span of your lifetime. And the time will keep going after your lifetime. And eventually revelation will happen, and God will make a new heaven and a new earth. And then time keeps going. Doesn't it? And it keeps going. I mean, you think about eternity, and it's a hard concept to grasp because it doesn't stop. It keeps going. Remember that little tiny speck that none of us can see? That's our life. And sometimes it feels a little insignificant when we're here. And sometimes you ask questions. How does all this evil and tragedy and pain and suffering fit in? How does this big impact seem so small? Why does our life seem to be insignificant at times? But time continues. But you can see how it doesn't stop. And that little tiny point, and you start to feel, what is the point? What's the meaning of our little tiny lives that seem like they're here today and gone tomorrow? If this rest of eternity is going on, where do we fit in the picture, and what good is it that we do anything? how is our little life going to affect this whole line? And I think probably the reason that people think that way, because that's what probably a lot of people think who aren't Christians at all, who've never gone to church. Like, you're born, you die, and that's it. The Bible says God wrote eternity on our hearts. And so a lot of people know inside that that's not it, that there is more, that there's more to come back to. And a lot of people try to make up things like reincarnation and things, but they know that there's something more than that little spot. And they wonder, what is the point to that little spot? And I think the reason that they, and church people are guilty of that teaching too. We've got this idea that we've got this life way back here that we're living right now, and Jesus is going to come back someday, and he's going to fix everything. And when he does, then things will be okay. Then we'll have a new address and a new phone number and a new ID card, and life will be fine. We sometimes church people get this idea that, you know what, things are screwed up now, but I'll just wait and I'll hope, and eventually Jesus is going to fix it, and then I can start over, and I don't have to worry about all this mess. I'll start then, and things will be fine from there. Have you heard that? Have you ever felt that? Like, I'll just wait, and eventually Jesus will come. But the truth of the matter is, that's not what's supposed to happen. This little point, for us, is supposed to be, I mean, it seems very tiny and very small, and there's tragedy, and there's heartache, and there's hardship sometimes. There's tough things. I've watched good friends die. I've had family members that I've lost. I've been hurt myself, and I've seen famine. I've watched kids go blind because they didn't have enough vitamins in Africa. I mean, AIDS kills millions. Horrible stuff. And it's all packed in this little spot. And we think, well, once that's over, then I can start new and everything will be fine. But the truth is that in the middle of all this tragedy and heartache is where we start. And we continue to go on. And the cool thing is that, you know, I trust that Jesus is going to make, and I believe in this, that Jesus is going to make things good. God is going to restore and perfect and renew the earth. And we're going to have a new life. I mean, I already have a new life, and that's cool. And so our life begins here and continues for eternity. It's not like it's over, and you don't push a reset button and get a new deck of cards and start a new game. It starts here, and it continues to go on and on. And that little tiny speck of tragedy that we face right now that breaks our hearts now, when we're hurt and when loved ones are hurt, that's all over. Way back here, it's done. And this is the time we get to spend with God in perfection, in goodness. This is the time that's wonderful and beautiful. And it never stops. It goes on forever and ever and ever. It doesn't just crisscross this room. It would continue back on out that window, to the ends of the universe. It's just our time with God begins. And so my question for you tonight is, what are you doing right now that's going to make a significant impact for eternity? Because as Christians, Jesus' teaching is not, wait for me, I'll be back and I'll fix it. Jesus' teaching is, you fix it now. You do something about the world. You make a difference for peace and for justice and redemption. You're my disciples. I'm giving you this job to do. You're supposed to be in partnership with God. And so you're supposed to be working to fix the heartache and the hurt and the pain and the suffering, because what you do in that little spot will affect eternity forever and ever. And our partnership with God, with the creator of the universe, with the one who never ends in either direction, is to be a part of this timeline forever and ever and ever and ever, and to have an impact that you don't even understand yet. And the Bible talks about heaven being a place that's so wonderful that the human brain can't even conceive it. It's so magnificent. And you are supposed to be having an impact on that today, tonight. We're not just a tiny speck on eternity. We have a spot where we start, and we're part of eternity that goes on and never quits. We're supposed to be partners with God. So the question is, what are you doing in partnership with God tonight, this evening, in your life in general? Are you partnering with God at work, or in your neighborhood, or around the world, like Danny was talking about this morning? When you look at your life and the gifts that God's given you and the resources that God's given you, are you using them in partnership with God? Are you being a part of what God has planned for this world to restore it to the way that He meant for it to be? Jesus wants you to be a part of the change that brings our world back in order and stops the pain and stops the tears. Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 28, there's an expert in the religious law that stood up to test Jesus. And he asks, "Teacher, what must I do to receive eternal life?" And Jesus replied with a question. He says, "What does the law of Moses say? How do you read it?" And the man answered, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "Right," Jesus said. "Do this, and you will live." So what causes our life to become a part of eternity that impacts forever is to do that, to love God with everything that you are, and to love other people as yourself. Our partnership with God is meant to impact the world and for us to have life, a full life, Jesus describes it, that goes on and never, ever stops. And it's as simple as loving God and loving each other. I mean, there's a lot involved in that. It's a simple way to put it. But that's the core of it. It's not, you don't have to do magic tricks. You don't have to jump through a bunch of hoops. You just have to understand you're meant to live as God's partner, part of the family, the child of God in the family business to restore this planet. And I hope that you've noticed that not everything's bad in our world, but there's still a lot of goodness, and a lot of it has to do with the impact that Christians are making around the world. I mean, hospitals have been built and colleges to learn about. I mean, originally, colleges in the U.S. were put there to learn about, in partnership with God, how we could have a positive impact on the world. Missionaries are all over the world, like Danny, trying to save the lost and trying to help people who are hurting, to give them homes that maybe are made out of plastic bags, but to have a place to live and have food to eat and medicine and education. And missionaries are all over they don't do that for the money or the fame. There's nothing in it except for the fact that they know that there's beauty in restoring the planet. There's beauty in saving lost people and helping hurting people. I don't know if you've ever been in love, if you've been captivated by another person, if you've ever looked at a painting or been listening to a song and you just felt moved by some beautiful type of art. I don't know if you've ever laughed until you cried. You know, you just had such a great time that your tears started coming out of your eyes because it was so funny or such a wonderful time. I mean, God meant for this place to be a wonderful and beautiful place. He put those kinds of things in our life, and it still goes on. When people ask what the meaning of life is, what's the purpose of all this, that's what it is, to restore the way God meant for us to live, to bring back the way He made the world. As missionaries go into countries where they kill Christians to make that kind of impact, they see the beauty comes of that. I read statistics that talk about the happiness ratings of various countries around the world. Like they, I don't know who did this. I think it was the U.S. government, actually. But they went around and they found out what countries had happier people. And they found that third world countries, the people were more, they had less stress, they were more happy, in spite of all the, you know, that they have a lack of food and a lack of housing in a lot of those places. But here in our country, where we've got everything, we still stress out more. We still are less happy. And I had some friends from Africa come over and visit. They were part of a sister church from the church in Rochelle. And they came here and they looked at everything and they said, "We feel sorry for you because you have so much, you've forgotten how to depend on God." And the truth is that we do. The things that we own start to own us. And we forget that we're supposed to be in partnership with God, and none of this stuff matters. All of this stuff is going to disappear. We're going to have a new earth, and we're going to realize that it's the work that we've done in partnership with God that Jesus said, store up treasures in heaven. But that's what's going to have that lasting impact. And all the things that we've worked for to please ourselves, like Danny said this morning, they're in a garbage heap somewhere. And that beauty that comes when we realize that. When God seems distant, when it seems hard to hear Him, when we have a hard time connecting with God, it's usually because we've shut Him out with all the other noise we've filled our lives with, all the other things that we've surrounded ourselves and we spend our time taking care of instead of time with God. In Isaiah 45, verse 18, I don't know if you've heard the song that talks about the fingerprints of God. We're supposed to be the fingerprints of God. So what kind of fingerprint are you leaving on the earth? What's your mark on the world? Chapter 45 in Isaiah 18 and 19 says, "For the Lord is God, and He created the heavens and the earth, and put everything in its place. He made the world to be lived in, not to be a place of empty chaos. I am the Lord, He says, and there is no other. I publicly proclaim bold promises. I do not whisper in obscurities, in some dark corner so no one can understand what I mean. And I did not tell the people of Israel to ask me for something that I did not plan to give them." God saying, "I'm here. I'm meant to be found. I'm not hiding from you. I'm not keeping things closed off. I'm open. I'm waiting for you." Jeremiah 29:13 says, "If you look for me in earnest, with all your heart, you will find me when you seek me." God says, "I'm here, and I'm waiting for you to turn in my direction. I've been following you your whole life. You just got to turn around." He's meant for us to find Him easily and to help restore and heal and fix the world. Christianity is not buying a ticket to heaven and waiting for the bus. It's not fire insurance. It's meant to be an active role changing the world around you, reaching out to the people that need God, reaching out to the people that need some peace in their life, that need some healing, that need cake baked for them. I mean, whatever it is that God is calling you to do, the gifts that He's given you, God's calling you, put them to work, healing the world. I'd like for us to think a little bit about that as we go out tonight. Has our religion become nothing more than a tradition? If Jesus were here with us tonight, would He come to us with the same kind of comments He had for the Pharisees, who had over time allowed their religion just to become a practice, just to become some rules that they followed? They forgot that a relationship with God was supposed to be about a condition in their heart and their mind that they lived out because of who they were, not something that they did just because that's what the rules were. Christianity is supposed to be about a relationship that enables us and gets us in action because of who we are, not just because of what we're supposed to do. And that question comes back. Are you partnering with God? Is your life lined up with what God's will is for your neighborhood, for your next-door neighbors, for your coworkers, for the people you go to school with, for the people that you spend time with on the weekends? Is your life impacting those around you for all eternity? Are you just sitting and waiting for the bus? Are you just waiting for Jesus to come back? There's an ancient Jewish saying that's really cool. It's not in the Bible, but it's a really old saying that goes, "A person's good deeds are used by God as seeds to plant the trees of Eden." Isn't that a cool thought? That your acts basically are creating perfection. That your acts as a Christian, as a follower of God, are making the world a better place to be, are helping to restore it to the way that God always meant for it to be. When you think about the way things got started, the beginning of our story in Genesis, and the perfect goodness of the Garden of Eden and how wonderful it must have been, when you think about the new heaven and the new earth that God is going to bring about when Jesus does return and wipes out evil eventually, when you realize the way that our world is really supposed to be, when that inner thing in your heart that says, "This life isn't right, I need to do something about it," when that really starts to come to life inside of you, and you're presented with that choice to live in partnership with God or to not live in partnership with God, which will you pick? Which are you picking right now? How are you going to affect eternity forever and ever and ever from that thought? And are you willing for your life to be used to plant the seeds of Eden, to create what God intended, to help restore us the way things God meant to do? If it is, God will partner with you. The power to help you do that is the creation of the universe. It's the Creator. He's there. We're not supposed to feel this weight. We're supposed to understand that we're working with the Master who has all the power. And when we partner with Him, all things are possible. So that's your charge. That's your Think about your partnership with God when you go home tonight. When you wake up in the morning, think about how your life can be helping to plant the seeds of Eden. Lord, thank you so much that it continues to amaze me that you love us so much that you not only want to save us, but you want us to do your work. That you want us to take charge of making our world a better place. That your power is placed upon us, that your gifts are given to us to do your work. God, help us to remember that. Don't let us go through our days thinking about what needs to get done or what we have to worry about. Help us to realize that we are called to make this world a better place. When we see heartache, when we see pain, when we see hurting, God, help us to understand that we as believers are meant to do something about it, to make a change. God, help us not to sit back and wait. Help us when we see tragedy to get up and make a difference, to do something about it. God, I ask your blessing upon everyone here tonight. I ask your hand would rest upon them and give them that understanding. Help them to know that they are meant to be partners with you. Lord, if there's anyone in this room tonight that is not a partner with you, anyone that hasn't realized what they're called to be and turn to you, Lord, help them to understand that you are waiting for them to turn their lives around and give it over to you and start to live out your purpose and your perfection. God, thank you so much for your love. Help us to, or be with us